The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
We need to touch on a story that we've been watching for a while, especially as now we're in the middle of the college football season. Name, image, and likeness in college sports.
Yeah, the College Athlete Economic Freedom Act. It's a mouthful, but it allows college athletes unrestricted use of their name, image, and likeness, and penalizes schools that curb those rights.
NIL legislation has not come without criticism. Here's Georgia Bulldogs coach Kirby Smart, who feels that they're not sustainable.
I don't think what's going on in college football right now at some places is sustainable, meaning can you do that year in and year out and repeat that? Can you honor the commitment that some people are trying to make to kids to get them to go to their school?
That was Kirby Smart, Georgia head football coach. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M also addressed NIL legislation.
There's no rules. Each state has its own rules. I mean, it's not just an NCAA thing or a national thing. There's each state. Like, for instance, in Texas, we cannot bring up NIL to a recruit. We can't say it. We can't promise. All we can say, if guys on our team have it, that's all we can say. Other states can prevent written contracts. I mean, it's just the world we're in, and we're frustrated because there's no unification of what happens and the way it happens.
Texas A&M coach there, Jimbo Fisher.
Here to talk with us about at least one of those bills is Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate the time.
Take us through what Washington is trying to do with NIL.
Well, I've long been very supportive of the effort to get these athletes access to the money they deserve from the marketing of their name and their image and their likeness. More broadly, though, I think we need to admit that college sports, in particular, big-time college football and basketball, are professional sports. They make billions of dollars for adults, and these kids are kept in poverty. I would like, ultimately, to see a more comprehensive system of reimbursement for these athletes, especially, again, the ones that are playing in the money-making sports. For the time being, the best we can do is just getting them compensation for endorsement deals. I don't think Congress is going to do anything about it in the short run. If the colleges and the NCAA are interested in having a discussion about a broader set of workplace protections, labor rights, and compensation, then Congress might be willing to sit down and talk, but we're certainly not going to, hand power to the colleges or to the NCAA to limit students' ability to get compensated for endorsements. I think this has been a really good thing for athletes that are professional. They're professional athletes. They're playing a professional sport. And they're making a whole ton of money for everybody else. I'm really glad that they're finally being able to get at least a small part of those profits.
Can you talk a little bit about the bipartisan support there is for action on this? Specifically, what part of what you're proposing has the buy-in from the other side?
I don't think there's much bipartisan agreement right now.
Why is
from
that?
What I understand, because my sense is right now Republicans are seeking to sort of give power back to the NCAA or back to the schools, are seeking to limit athletes' ability to be compensated. I think there may be some Democrats in that camp as well, but I'm of the mind that we should be expanding player rights, that we should be expanding compensation models. And right now, there don't seem to be a lot of Republican partners in that endeavor. So that's why I'm, very honest about the prospects for legislation. I don't see Congress acting anytime soon unless there's a consensus amongst the schools that they need Congress's consent for some broader reform of college athletics, which to me involves broad compensation for at least athletes in the sports that are making billions of dollars.
So, Senator, one of the more confusing things that I'm trying to wrap my brain around is that you have legislation at the state level, at different states, right? And if you're, you know, an advertiser or you're Reebok or Adidas or Nike or whatever, it's very, very challenging, you know, given different laws at the state level. How does your bill, how does the Collegiate Athlete Economic Freedom Act change this?
So I have, you know, legislation and it's bicameral. I introduced it with Lori Trahan, a former college athlete representing Massachusetts. And what we would do is just create a national standard similar to the most permissive state laws. It would just broadly allow for student athletes across the country to have access to endorsement deals. And it would create a standard right all across the country. And I think that's the way to go, at least on NIL rights. That would mean that there weren't different abilities to do endorsement deals based upon which state you're going to school in. Now, again, I don't think that that's sufficient. I think that you should more evenly distribute out compensation amongst athletes at these programs. But I would hope that, you know, schools would be interested in having that uniform right. Thus far, colleges, conferences, the NCAA have not been willing to endorse our legislation because it does grant a broad right to student athletes. And what they are asking Congress to do is to limit that right. The NCAA is asking Congress to basically give them the power to decide which students get compensated and how much money. And there's just not bipartisan agreement to do something like that right now.
So, Senator, I mean, you talk about more evenly distributing those rights to student athletes. You know, I just want to throw some numbers at you. You know, NCAA generates $1 billion in annual revenue. I think college sports generates $26 billion, but it's dominated by these Power Five conferences. So when you say evenly distribute, I mean, are we talking that, you know, those big programs should, you know, players who are playing for those big programs should be entitled to a bigger piece of the pie? I mean, what do you mean by evenly distribute the wealth?
Well, listen, I think that this is a question for the conferences, for the schools to figure out. It shouldn't be up to me to devise a compensation scheme. Sure. But what I'm talking about is a revenue sharing arrangement in which you come to a conclusion as to how much money the industry is making, and you guarantee a certain cut of those dollars to students. Now, you could do that on a conference by conference basis. You could do that for Power Five schools. You could do that more broadly across all of Division I.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of different ways that you could do that. But that's the direction I think we should be heading in, looking at these sports as professional sports. You know, there are more people in the stadiums for University of Michigan football games than there are for any NFL game, and making sure that the students get a percentage of those revenues.
Now, I want to clarify something for people out there listening. The bill that you're talking about, the key to the whole thing is that it would prohibit the NCAA schools and conferences from creating guardrails that would restrict any athletes from compensation. Right now, because of NIL, those college athletes can be compensated. But you had mentioned that there was not bipartisan support for this. Is there a chance, when it looks like Republicans are taking control of the House, that there could be some sort of legislation going the other way?
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I have not tracked as closely legislation in the House, but it's certainly possible that a House Republican majority could pass a bill, you know, essentially eliminating the rights that exist today and giving the power back to the NCAA to decide which students get money and how much. I don't think there are the votes for that in the House of Representatives, in the Senate today. So it wouldn't necessarily end up becoming a law.
Up next on the show, we continue our conversation with Senator Chris Murphy. We're talking NIL and college sports, plus we'll get his thoughts on Brittany Griner. That is straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. I'm Michael Barr. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
And you can find me on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
And you can follow me at D Sassauer.
And don't forget to catch our podcast. That's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on all your podcast platforms. Right here on Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. We continue our conversation with Senator Chris Murphy. He's on the show to talk about name, image, and likeness legislation for college athletes. But there are a few other topics we want to get his thoughts on, including Brittany Griner. It's a story that we've been paying close attention to. She was recently moved to a penal colony in Russia to serve her sentence, and there are concerns about her safety and well-being. Here's White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan speaking at a press briefing about Griner.
She is being held unjustly. She should be released immediately. We have made that clear to our Russian counterparts, and we have put forward a series of proposals over the last several months for how we could resolve her case as well as the case of Paul Whelan to bring them both home.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Brittany Griner. We'll get Senator Murphy's thoughts on that coming up. But first, let's get back into our conversation on NIL.
You mentioned earlier how the Republicans, or some Republicans and some Democrats, want to give power back to the NCAA. There is this sense that perhaps that association has too much power. Which is too powerful, the NCAA, individual schools, or the conferences? And I ask about the conferences because we've seen the Big Ten become something akin to the Big, 14, 16, Michael Barr? And the Southeastern Conference, of course, is one of the most powerful conferences.
Well, I think the NCAA is sort of on the way to becoming pretty irrelevant, certainly for college football purposes. The Power Five has its own set of rules. The individual conferences now are heading in a direction where they are going to exist completely independent of the NCAA. You may end up in a world where there's only 2 conferences, right? Where the best football is being played, the SEC and the Big Ten. So in football, the NCAA is, close to irrelevant. In basketball, they are still pretty relevant. The conferences are powerful, but the NCAA still has a lot of sway because what matters most is that NCAA tournament. That's where the NCAA makes all of their revenue. When you talk about the NCAA making $1 billion, it's the college basketball tournament. So it depends on what sport. I just don't think that the NCAA nor the conferences have shown any interest in protecting players. They are interested in protecting the revenues that make adults rich. That is what they are interested in. They are interested in preserving the status quo. And I think the only way to save college sports is to pay these players, because the kids are getting wise. The kids are figuring out the scam. And so what you're seeing increasingly is high school athletes either going straight to the professional leagues. Now, that can't be the NFL or the NBA right now, but they will go to the semi-professional waylay leagues. They'll go overseas. I think that will be the trend if they don't see any path to getting fair compensation in college. And it'll destroy college athletics. So to me, as somebody who loves college sports, I have long argued for the broad, fair compensation of athletes, because I think that's actually the only way to preserve the sport.
You grew up in Wethersfield, Connecticut. You graduated from UConn School of Law. Of course, UConn has an incredible women's basketball team. To what extent did you speak with players there on the team about to formulate your ideas on NIL? How active a voice were they in sharing their views?
We got a good women's basketball team. We got a top 25 men's basketball team. We're bowl eligible, a top 10 hockey program.
I'm all about
program.
The women. Yep.
This is a good time to be a...
Yeah, it's...
All right, I got you. So Gino Auriemma has been a long-time proponent. Gino has been a long-time proponent of NIL. The athletes on that program obviously have been the biggest beneficiaries of NIL. Lori Trahan talks about this in a really compelling way. She's the House co-sponsor of our NIL bill. For many women, their college sporting years are their most lucrative. Now, that is unfortunately due to the fact that professional opportunities for women athletes don't exist in the way that they do for male professional athletes. And so when women are playing at a collegiate soccer program, they may, during those 4 years, have the highest earning potential of their time as a high-profile athlete. And so for women athletes, it's frankly life-changing to be able to have access to NIL. And you're seeing that on campus at stores. You're seeing Paige Beckers and Azzie Fudd and others, doing 6-7-figure deals because of the focus on women's athletics. Unfortunately, some of those deals are not available to them when they graduate college. So this is really an issue of athlete empowerment, but in particular, an issue of women athlete empowerment.
Senator, you're a member of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, but in addition to that, you're also a member of the Foreign Relations Committee. And, I wonder if I could ask you, Brittany Griner, her appeal was just rejected by a Moscow court. She's going to be facing 9 years in prison in Russia. Any color as to what the next steps are, what more we could be doing here in the U.S., what more the U.S. government could be doing, if anything, to try and bring her back home?
Well, I'm not sure the Russian government is willing to release Brittany Griner for anything other than the complete surrender of Ukraine.
Wow.
We have offered, and this is, open source reporting. We have, put on the table prisoner exchanges that, frankly, were pretty generous. I don't think that's what Russia is interested in. I think they are interested in holding Brittany Griner as leverage to try to stop the Ukraine war. And so that is obviously a price that we cannot pay and would, of course, be unwilling to pay. This is awful and terrible for Brittany and her family and her loved ones. But there's only one person and one government responsible for this atrocity. It's Vladimir Putin and the Russian government. We'll continue to try to negotiate for her release, but we can't surrender a country's sovereignty in exchange for the release of Brittany Griner, and hopefully we'll be able to find some other pathway.
Now let's ask the hard-hitting question. See, I live in Pennsylvania, and we have online betting. So how deep will UConn's men's and women's team go? And when we get into the NCAA tournament, how deep do you think they'll go?
Well, we just had a big win. The women beat Texas this week, which sort of shows you they are going to undoubtedly be a Final Four team this year. The men have been very good the last couple of years. Their team last year, I thought, was really special, but they have not broken through under Coach Hurley's tenure to win an NCAA tournament game. This may be the difference maker. Another really good development for college athletes has been the ability to freely transfer, right? That was another scam that the adults were perpetrating on kids, forcing kids to sit out a year before they transferred, just to protect, just basically to punish kids for adults' potential transgressions. Now that these kids can transfer more freely, you're seeing programs like UConn being able to more quickly compete. So we have a very good team this year, but if you watched UConn's game last night against Buffalo, you would have seen, I think four of our starting five, maybe three of our starting five being, first year transfer students. So that's one of the reasons that UConn may make a run this year.
I did. And you are right. They look great. So, by the way, people in Connecticut, do you guys have online gambling there?
So we're just beginning it. So we now have online gambling. It's done primarily in Connecticut through our two casinos. We have, you know, two Native American tribe run casinos. So, yeah, we have just sort of stepped into this world in Connecticut.
Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, you are so kind to take time out from your very busy schedule to talk with us. We really do appreciate it right here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. We explore big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
I'm at Scarlett Fu.
I'm Damian Sassauer, and I am at D Sassauer.
By the way, you can catch our podcasts every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and download them wherever you get your podcasts.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.